you to stand and honor the reading of the Word of God found in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 19. We're going to start reading in verse number 1. I'd ask the Christians to be praying in our service today. And I really feel that the Lord is wanting to do great things. And so I'm going to try to do my part and just get out of the way and let Him do it. Luke 19, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Something about Jesus, any time that you're really wanting to see who He is, He'll show Himself to you. He sought to see Jesus, who He was. I'm glad I found out who He is, amen. And He could not for the press. A lot of things pressing today that's keeping people from seeing Jesus. Because He was little of stature. And he ran before, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said, boy, I tell you, we done that, it'd clean us out. Amen? And Jesus said to him, this day is salvation. Come to this house. For as much as he's also the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Thank you for standing this morning. Our Father, I pray You'd help us now. Oh, Holy Ghost, I need You. Holy Ghost, we need You. Help us now in the preaching. Would You convict the hearts of the sinner this morning? Would You draw them to Your mercy and Your kindness? Help us now, Lord. We'll be grateful in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I'm interested in verse 9. Jesus said to him, this day salvation come to this house. I won't preach on this simple subject this morning on when Jesus comes to the house. When Jesus comes to the house. Big difference in Jesus coming to the house and me coming to the house. Big difference in Jesus coming to the house and just any ordinary company coming to the house. And you'll notice in verse 9 he uses this word of salvation. He said, Jesus said to him, today salvation come to your house. Thank God for the day salvation come to my house. So, dealing upon this word salvation this morning, I want to say, first of all, there's the expression of salvation. An expression of salvation. Verse 9. Now, the word salvation simply means to rescue. Boy, aren't you glad Jesus come by and rescued you? Hey, now, I am a Baptist this morning, but honey, the Baptist hadn't rescued me. The Baptists have done some things to help me, but, oh, honey, let me tell you, the Baptists didn't save me. And so certainly, I'm glad Jesus has rescued me. Preacher, what did He rescue you from? Well, He rescued me from a lot of things, but most and foremost, I'm glad that He rescued me out of a devil's hell this morning. I'm glad I don't have to die and go to hell. Hey, do you believe in hell today? So many liberal preachers, they've quit preaching about hell. When's the last time you heard a preacher preach on hell? We hear hell a lot in movies. It becomes a common vernacular of the movie set in Hollywood. But honey, the hell of this Bible's not in Hollywood. Hell is a real place, and hell is a hot place, and you'll lift your eyes in hell if you don't get rescued by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He rescued me from a terrible place. And it means also not only to rescue, but to save. Well, He saved me. Not only did He rescue me from hell, He saved me from hell. I'm glad I won't have to die and go to hell. Now, I can't guarantee you that are saved that you won't go through storms or persecutions or heartaches. But I can tell you this, honey, by the authority of the Word of God, if you're a child of God this morning, you won't have to die and go to hell if you've been saved. And that ought to make us throw our hands up. We've been preaching on Wednesday night out of the book of Revelation, that great tribulation period that's coming to the world. You may laugh at this old preacher this morning, honey, and you may be snickering under your breath and say, you mean to tell me that old boy really believes in a hell is real and a hell is hot? You go on, sir. Ma'am, you go on and snicker under your breath. It's coming a day when this church is going to be raptured out of this thing, and Jesus is coming for His children, and you'd wish to God in heaven you'd have got saved by His amazing grace. Jesus will have the last laugh at that day is what He said. He said He's going to laugh at your calamity. That's amazing to me. A God that loves us so much. He said, you go ahead. You shake your fist at me, sir. You go on and laugh and snicker at my preachers. He said, I'm going to laugh in your calamity at that last day. And so I'm glad that He saved me from a devil's hell. Thank the Lord He saved me. And this word salvation not only means to rescue or to save, but it means to deliver. Brother Lee, I'm glad that I've been delivered from my sin. My sin had me in bondage. I was doing a lot of things that I'm not proud of this morning. I was doing a lot of things that I just couldn't shake it. Brother Gerald, I wanted to do better, but when I got around the wrong crowd, it just got on me and it got in me and I just couldn't do right. But I'm glad one day Jesus came and delivered me from my situation of my sin and my addictions that was heading me to a devil's hell. You see, if you're lost this morning, you're just doing as a lost man can do. You can't turn over a new leaf and religion let you die and go to hell. The Bible says you must be born again by the grace of God. And so I'm glad that this thing of salvation is to rescue or to save or to deliver. I'm glad He's delivered us from a life of sin. A lot of people woke up this morning and didn't know how they got there. Thank God He's given me a good life. You know, folks, it's not nothing much better than have the peace of God in your heart and be able to go home Sunday evening after a good church service and relax with the family and gather around and eat with your young'uns and enjoy your grandbaby and get back ready about 6 o'clock, come to the house of God and go in the prayer room and experience the saints of God and feel the power of God and get back in a church, honey, and have some more preaching and some more shouting and more praising and some more crying and a squalling for the glory of God and walk out in the world on Monday letting your light shine, having the peace of Jesus in your heart. Honey, it's nothing like being a Christian this morning. It's nothing like being a child of God. There's nothing no better than knowing that your sins is gone. And thank God He's delivered me from a lifestyle that I'm ashamed of this morning. Boy, aren't you glad failure's not final? Boy, where would I be today? Where would I be this morning if God hadn't saved me? I'd probably be in hell if I wasn't down yonder on a riverbank. Amen. Oh, I'm glad God delivered me from myself and my sin. This thing of salvation means to save. It means to rescue. It means to deliver. But it also means saving. I'm glad not only have I been saved, and I'm being saved, but one day I shall be saved. You see, this thing of going for Jesus and salvation, it's one day at a time. It's a process. And the blood of Jesus cleanseth us. Not cleansed, but cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. Honey, the day I stepped out and met the Lord Jesus in the free pardon of sin and grace come to me and I responded by faith, He put the blood on me and every day of my life He's a saving me and keeping me saved by the blood of Christ. When I sin, I'm glad I come to Him and the blood of Jesus cleanseth me from all of my sin. Whatever I've done, I'm glad He's forgiven me of my sin. Thank God I've got no skeletons in my closet. I'm glad the Holy Ghost reached to my skeleton and got him by the neck and throwed him in the sea of forgetfulness that great day. And I bless His name that He's saving me. And guess what? Sometime I act saved. You say, preacher, how you know you're going to heaven? Because I'm living like I'm going to heaven. And that's the best indication to know if you've saved, honey. If you want to get to church and you enjoy preaching and you enjoy the things of God. Hey, son, you think you're going to walk through this world one day just open up to heaven? You better make preparation while preparation time's here this morning. You better believe in the Lamb of God and confess your sins and walk and follow Him by faith or hell will be your home one morning. There's the expression of salvation. He said in verse 9, Jesus said to him, this day salvation come to this house. And not only is there the expression of salvation, there is the expense of salvation. I won't say it cost Jesus something to save you. We don't hear a lot about the cross anymore, but in Hebrews chapter number 2, you'll turn there with me. He said, now Jesus said to him, this day salvation come to your house. Well, let me ask you this. Let me give you this Bible thought this morning. I never seen that studying this verse. Why did He say, today salvation come to your house? Because Jesus hadn't been there yet. Jesus is salvation. Baptist is not salvation. Our salvation hangs on one nail. And that's the nail of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter number 2, and in verse number 9 of Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Why? Because the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that, watch this, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Honey, He didn't die for a selective few. The Lord Jesus died for you, and He died for me. And we find out that there is an expense of this thing of salvation. He tasted death for every man. And then we find in Hebrews 7 and verse 23... Hebrews 7 and verse number 23. The Bible said, and they truly were many priests. I wish the Roman Catholic Church could get in on this message on the internet. I had one email me the other day trying to raise a ruckus with me, a Catholic out in California. I said, son, come on down to Bowden, Georgia. I said, we got some preaching for you down in Bowden, Georgia. We'll love you, but we're going to preach to you and tell you about somebody that'll make you throw your beads in the drawer and forget about them. They truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. What about that, honey? He said every priest that's ever been here has died, and they couldn't continue because the grave got them. But I got news for you. The Lord Jesus on the third day, He got up out of the grave. Thank God He lives forever this morning. He said that old priest couldn't do you no good because he's going to die too. Then he said this. He said, oh Lord, verse 24, but this man, because he continueth ever. It's no expiration date on Jesus, honey. He got out of the grave and He'll live forever. Buddha's dead, Confucius dead, Muhammad's dead, but Jesus is alive. I like this. But this man, because he continueth ever, he hath an unchangeable priesthood. And some of them old boys was a priest in this life, and I don't know what they are in the other life. But Jesus said He's got an unchanging priesthood. He's always been priest. He's always been king, honey. When He was born by a virgin in that lowly manger, He was the priest for our sins. He is the high potentate. He was our highway to heaven. He was our escape out of hell. Thank God He's our priest this morning. I like this. God, Brother Felton, Brother Troy, Brother Dave, we better be glad this verse in here. Wherefore He's able also to save them to the uttermost. Yes, that come unto God by Him. He said, it ain't nothing you've done too bad. It ain't nothing you've been doing too long. He said, I can save the chiefs and I can save the Indians. And He said, I can save to the uttermost this morning. Boy, I'm glad my sin ain't too black for Him. And He says He's able to save them to the uttermost. Now, why didn't He say that He saved everybody? Because He don't save everybody. But He's able to save everybody. He only saves those that believe in Him and receives Him. Says He's able also to save them to the uttermost that come, watch this, come unto God by Him. A great religion now sweeping our nation in the Muslim faith. They say they're our brother and sister. They're not our brother and sister. If you bypass Christ, honey, you die and go to hell. End of conversation. End of the story. Look what your Bible said. Underline it and know where it's at in your Bible. He said He's able to save them the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. You know what it means? It means if you want to come to God, you got to grab a hold of Jesus. Amen. Blayton, you and little man, come here just a minute. This is what it means. It means if you want God, then you can't bypass Christ. He said if you'll be a sinner and you reach out to Jesus, then Jesus will take you and He'll reach out to God and He'll bring you together by the glory of God. He's our great intercessor this morning and He ever lives to link us to heaven. I'm glad I know Jesus in the free pardon of sin this morning. He said you know God if you'll come to God by Him. See, it's all about Him. It ain't about Baptist. It ain't about religion. It's all about Jesus, friend. It's not about a priest wearing his gown around. It's about Jesus this morning. Jesus. And so here in this thing of salvation, we find out the expression and the expense of salvation. Hebrews 9, verse number 11. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and a more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, now this building, watch your Bible, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. His own blood, He entered in once in the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Who's He obtained eternal redemption for? All of those that believe upon Him. He's obtained eternal redemption. Wouldn't that be amazing? You die and go to hell in your sins and He's done paid the price for you. He's done made the way for you. but you by faith would not accept Him. Because you thought, well, I've got time. You thought, well, I'm full of pride. And the devil's give you 1,000 excuses why not to come to Christ. But Jesus said this, He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. End of the conversation. I heard one of the largest gatherings in America. And they can show you their church and it fills a coliseum. It looks like the Super Bowl. And would you believe there's a man there that calls himself a preacher in 2010 that says he will not dogmatically say that Jesus is the only way to heaven? The Bible said in the last days, scoffers shall come. Imposters. Having a sense of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away is what the Bible said. Honey, let me tell you something. This Bible's going to be standing when this world's a-burning. And so we see here the expression of salvation and the expense of salvation. He said that He attained eternal redemption for us by His own blood. It is a bloody salvation. You say, well, I won't take none of that blood. You'll die and go to hell in your sins. The only reason I'm going to heaven this morning, not because I'm the pastor of one of the best churches in America, not because I've been raised in one of the best homes in the country, not because I've got one of the best families known to man, it's because the blood of Jesus washed me clean. But it's not in my righteousness which I've done. Like Brother Gerald told this morning, the Holy Ghost lives in us, reminds us when we do wrong. Thank God, when I do wrong, He smites my heart and convicts me of my sins. Honey, it's the blood of Jesus. When God looks at me, He don't see no righteous I got, because why? There's none righteous. No, not one. But He sees the blood of His Son. Isn't that amazing how wicked that we could do and everything we've done in our past, and by simple step of faith to Christ, the blood of Jesus is applied to us by grace. And now when God sees us, He put my sins on Christ and He put Christ's righteousness up on me. That's amazing. When He looks at me, now He sees His Son. Because I'm in Christ. I'm hid in Christ. He don't see this old vile wretch no more. He sees His blood of His darling Son applied on me. And when He sees the blood, He said, I'll pass over you. Thank God when He sees the blood. I'm glad the blood's on me this morning. You can get up yonder in that baptismal pool and you can be baptized. Every catfish in there knows your name. But honey, you better know that the blood of Jesus has made you clean. Preacher, how can I know that? Have you ever come to Christ by faith? Asked Him to save you. And this morning, we find here when salvation come to this house, there's the expression of salvation. There is an expense of salvation. But look in verse number 1, there's an extension of salvation. I'm glad that Jesus has extended salvation. Do you know how blessed you are to be in the Bible Belt? Do you know how blessed you are to be in a little old church in Bowden, Georgia this morning? Do you have any inkling how blessed you are? We see here the extension of salvation. Verse 1, Jesus entered and passed through. You better be glad He passes by. And then verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, He looked up and saw Him, said to Him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. You better be glad He called your name one day. And I want you to look what He said. Don't go home, cook no lunch. He didn't say, go and get your groceries. He said, you better make haste and come down. I can tell you, getting saved is something to get in a hurry about. Some of you, I don't know what you're waiting on. Some of you never been saved by the grace of God. Far as I know, you've never said you got saved. I don't know what you're waiting on. I reckon you're waiting on death to take you to hell. That's all I know. Some of you youngins, you say, well, I'm going to wait till I get older. What if you don't get older? I can tell you multitudes of youngins, honey, in the graveyard this morning. They waited too long. Don't wait too long this morning. Mama, don't you wait too long. It's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Mama, don't you wait too long. Daddy, don't you wait too long. Jesus said you better make haste and come down. Well, we lifted in our pride. It's something to get hurry about. Getting saved, something to run about. Getting saved is something to shout about. Make haste. Come down. The extension of salvation. In Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 3, the Bible says the verse, you ought to underline it, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it? He said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So great. Aren't you glad the Father thought it? Before the foundations of the world, God seen that He had to make a sacrifice for our sin. God the Father thought it. God the Son bought it. I'm glad Jesus hung on a cross and paid the price. Now the Holy Ghost has brought it. I'm glad the Holy Ghost deals with our heart. Where would we be, as Brother Gerald said this morning, where would we be if the Holy Ghost hadn't moved and shined that light on us and convicted us of our sin? A lot of you going in places where there's playing church. You know why God didn't convict you? No Holy Ghost was there. But honey, you get in a place where the Holy Ghost is, you'll get in or get out. You can't be comfortable around the Holy Ghost and lost. You ought to thank God He sent you to a ministry where the Holy Ghost was. And He's convicted you of your sin. This is what the devil will tell you. Everybody there thinks you're saved. You're supposed to be saved. Honey, all you can do is do what you've been doing until God shows you different. One of the best friends of my life is sitting here, Brother John Arp, this morning. He's told me several times, Pastor, why did God wait so long to save me? I said, John, I don't know. I'm just glad He saved you. He said, well, you know what? Well, he just dealt with me when I was some 68, 69 year old. Shout for the glory of God. You didn't die and go to hell in your sin.
Amen.
Make haste and come down. How many of you thought you was doing fine? You believed in Jesus. The Bible says that even hell, that the devils in hell believe and tremble. You must have an experience with the Lord Jesus and been born again by the grace of God. Oh, this thing of salvation is very important. We see the expression of salvation, the expense of salvation, the extension of salvation. Titus 2 and verse number 11. Boy, this thing, this gets better and better. And if somebody go out to wave a flag, or I'll preach all morning this morning. Titus chapter number 2. I love talking about Jesus. Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 11. You'll see what he's talking about. He goes and he says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. He's appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that we might redeem us from all sin and iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Oh my goodness, the extension of salvation. Isn't it amazing the grace of God that bringeth salvation? You know what God's doing? He's sharing His grace with you, trying to bring you salvation. The grace of God bringeth salvation. Thank God for grace in bringing salvation. Thank God for grace to let us believe in salvation. And thank God for grace that will let us be born again into salvation. The expression, the expense, extension. But then verse 6, watch this. And I'll be closing now. There's the experience of salvation. Bible said in verse 6, and he made haste and came down, and look what he done. He received him joyfully. Preacher, I know I'm going to heaven, do you? Well, tell me the day he come to your house and you received him. Watch what the Bible says now in the book of John's Gospel, chapter number 1. I hear men talking about, well, you ain't got to receive Christ. You better receive Christ, honey. The Bible said in John's Gospel, chapter number 1, and in verse number 11, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You must receive Christ to be saved. You must receive what He's done for you on a cross. You must receive that He is who He says He is by this book. Thank God we can receive Him. When did you receive Him? I'm not asking you when at Bible school you come down and you join the church. I'm asking you when did you receive Christ? I'm not asking you when you joined the church and was baptized. I'm asking you when did you receive Christ? The experience of salvation. Boy, I'm glad I've had an experience of salvation. Thank God I can go to a place and a time. Everybody ever got saved in this Bible, they could go to a place and a time where the Lord brought them eternal life and they had experience of salvation. Everywhere in this Bible. You don't just be born and walk through this world and die and go to heaven. You've got to have an experience by the grace of God. Just because I walk into McDonald's don't make me a hamburger. I've got to have the experience with Christ. I'll never forget my experience. I've been around church all my life. I'm telling you. Some of y'all think we go to church now. You ought to have been raised to Church of Christ. I lived in church. When I was these boys' age, I could get up in front of that whole assembly and I could recite every book in the Bible. I'd win contests. God had never dealt with me, Brother Jira. Wasn't no Holy Ghost there. Over here at Sandy Flat Baptist Church, I got to go into church. One Saturday, that pastor come to my house. Brother Dave, he looked at me, and I reckon, far as I know, it's the first time God ever dealt with me. And this is what he said. He said, "Are you saved?" I never had nobody ask me that. It scared me to death. Brother Mike, I lied. I wanted to leave my house. Yeah. Yeah, I'm saved. Brother Adam, he walked out off that little deck. Closed that little holler door. You could throw the cat through that trailer. Something happened that morning that never happened to me in all my life. God, the Holy Ghost smote my heart. God, He tore me up. For the first time, I realized I was a sinner and I was a dying and going to hell in my sins. And that's an awful place to be. God, it's miserable. The old prophet talks about the bed being too narrow and the cover too short. Oh, God, I was miserable. I went to church that next morning. I don't even know what he preached. All I know is God had me arrested. All I know, Miss Sharon, I was going to die and go to hell if God didn't save me. And contrary to what any of you believe, I was sitting right here on the third pew, and when I did this, I had an experience with Jesus. My everything, Brother Troy, turned to Him by faith, and I said, "God, save me, Lord, save me." That's all I said, "Lord, save me." And I found out later when I become a preacher, that's all Peter said, "Lord, save me." And the same thing happened to Peter. Brother Gerald, happened to me. He reached and caught him. Share you cut. I'm glad I've got an experience of salvation. You can't talk me out of it. You know why? Because I've got an experience. Why, you can line up from here to Birmingham, and it's not because I've been preaching for years. It's because I've got an experience of the day when the Lord Jesus come to my house and saved me by His amazing grace. There's the exhibition of salvation. The Bible said He received Him joyfully. Folks, I got joy in my heart this morning that the bottle can't put in it. The weed can't take me to it. Money can't soothe it. Oh, Lord. Ain't nothing like preaching. Ain't nothing like telling people about Jesus. But the exhibition or the display, he come down and received him joyfully. And this is what he started trying to make wrong right. I've noticed that about when you get saved. You want to go to trying to fix what you made wrong. Ain't you glad that Jesus can fix whatever's wrong this morning? Now the last point. Look what he said. We see the exhibits of salvation, but lastly now, the exposition of salvation. In verse number 10, there it is. It's a profounding verse. For the Son of Man's come to seek and to save that which is lost. You can't get saved, you get lost. But you listen to this preacher this morning. I don't understand all about what I'm fixing to say, but I just know it's so. I believe people can get lost and never get saved. But I don't believe you can ever be saved unless you get lost. I believe with all my heart, if you'll get lost, Jesus will save you. Just because you've been shown that you're lost don't mean you're going to get saved. Because you've got to have faith and you've got to receive Him. Now I want to ask you this morning. I want to ask you this question in your heart. Do you want to be saved? Ma'am, what about you this morning? Sir, what about you? Young person, what about you? We all stand even at the cross. We've all got to receive Christ. We've all got to come to Him by faith. He said if we'd come to Him, He would in no wise cast us out. He died for all. But you've got to see that you're lost. And if you're lost this morning, and you're convinced you're lost, and you want Jesus to save you, He'll save you. But you're going to have to come by faith. Brother David, what's your number?